Anybody who knows me knows that I am notorious for not doing things in a specific order or normally, as we would say, because I am not normal, okay? I will tell you this much. Anytime that God puts something on your heart and then he just keeps doing it and he keeps saying it and he keeps repeating it and he does not let you sit down and let it go, that means he wants it done, yes? Everybody's in agreement, yes? Okay, they sang a song called No Fear, okay? Let me tell you about fear. Fear cancels out everything God ever has for you. Fear will cancel out your covenant with God. Because why? Because we tend to have fear. So, this, I traded my monkeys for people. Okay? I traded my monkeys for people, okay? They are going to redo the No Fear song because it's very important that you pay attention to the lyrics of this song and get it in your heart to understand the message, covenant versus contract. Because if you walk out of here today with fear in your heart, you have canceled your covenant.
I think we all need to get up for this one. Come on.
I got enemies every side. It ain't looking good, ain't gonna lie. Arrows flying, devil's trying. Make me think I'm going down this time.
Might think that I'd be afraid, running scared with a shaking faith. But the God I know says it ain't over. The God I know is gonna make a way.
Yeah, though I walk through the valley, I will have
no fear,
no fear,
no fear,
no fear. The mighty power of Jesus is fighting for me here.
No fear,
no fear,
no fear,
no fear. The light of the world makes the darkness disappear.
No fear,
not over my life, not over my life, not over my life.
No fear.
Fear when I'm walking through fire, cause I know who's walking me through. No fear when the flood waters rise, if I got my eyes on you.
No fear,
no fear,
no fear,
no fear. The mighty power of Jesus is fighting for me here.
No fear,
no fear,
no fear,
no fear. The light of the world makes the darkness disappear. Not over my life, not over my life, not over my life.
No fear.
Not over my life, not over my life, not over my life.
Not over my
family. Not over my future. Not over my life. God's over my life. Not over my battles. Not over my struggles. Not over my life. God's over my life.
Not over my family, not over my future, not over my life, God's over my life.
Not over my battles, not over my struggles, not over my life, God's over my life.
Yeah, though I walk through the valley, I will.
The mighty power of Jesus is fighting for me here.
No fear.
No fear.
No fear.
No fear. The light of the world makes the darkness disappear.
No fear.
Not over my life, not over my life, not over my life.
No fear.
Not over my life, not over my life, not over my life.
No fear.
Not over my life, not over my life, not over my life.
No fear.
Not over my life, not over my life.
over my life, not over my life.
No fear.
You know, my praise team, my tech team, I should say, correction, when I say my, I mean God's. God's praise team and God's tech team really loves me, because when I do things like this, love my tech team back there. She already had the batteries and the thing, and I walked back there and said, oh, by the way, they're doing it again. And she's like, I said, well, no, wait a minute. She goes, I said, no, just let me think a little bit longer. And I run back over here and I go, no, it's going to happen. And she's going, will you make up my mind? They love me. They love me. They love me. Sometimes they like to boot me out, but it's okay. I'm so glad everybody's in the house of the Lord today. Listen, if you comprehend that song, No Fear, and you really get it in your bones, no fear, you're going to move far, you're going to go fast, and you're going to walk in the covenant of God. But if you grasp any little bit of fear, you're going to suffer that. Because if Satan gets just a crack, he will push the door wide open. The difference between a covenant and a contract is a covenant is unconditional. It's unconditional. A contract is conditional. I'm going to take a very long time to explain to you the difference between a covenant and a contract. I want you to stay with me. It's good knowledge to have, because you either have a covenant or you have a contract relationship with whomever you're with God, with your friends, with your spouse, with an acquaintance. It's either a covenant or it's a contract. You're either for God or you're against him. The day is upon us when God asked me this question. I was having a Linda party, because I don't like to call it a pity party. So I was having a Linda party, and the only one invited was me and God. And we're having this conversation, and I was just kind of laying it all out there like we normally do. Or am I the only one who does that? I mean, I had an agenda. I had 3 books worth, and I was putting it all out there. You know, y'all famous for putting y'all business out on the street. I'm famous for putting my business out in the sanctuary. Just saying. Okay, God said to me, Linda, very clearly, he said, Linda is our relationship. Contractual, or is it a covenant? And I went, well, it depends on what you're talking about. I said, explain to me before I say anything. That's wisdom, my friend, because I posed the same question. Where's Josh at? He's not in here, is he? I posed the same question to Josh, and he's smarter than me. Because he sat down beside me and he says, well, Pastor Linda, tell me what the difference is. And I said, well, Josh, you got to come to church on Sunday. And he goes, well, then I'll tell you Sunday after church. Not me. I jumped right off and I said, well, of course, God, it's covenant. And he said, is it? And I went, well, yeah, I think so. He said, think about what you do. I want y'all to remember that. What a great question to ask in this season of our life, right? How can one be sure or to know what relationship they have with God? Very simple, right? Maybe. Might be a little complex. But how can we know? So glad you asked. Everybody wanted to know, right? I'm so glad everybody asked. Okay. Your relationship with God, hear me, your relationship with God is a mirror reflection of your relationship with man. Sounds good, right? Sounds really good, right? And is that not us? Our relationship with him is a mirror reflection of our relationship with each other. That's truth. Truth. But one would like to think so. However, this is twisted truth. Your relationship with each other should mirror your relationship with God. That means that I should treat y'all just like I treat him. But what do? We treat him just like we treat you. You let God not give you what you're praying for and watch you get jacked. If you beg God for something and God sees down the road and around the corner and he says no, you get jaded with God and you don't come to church and you don't associate with the saints. And God forbid you to come to a function outside Sunday or Wednesday. Because why? Because we're jaded. Because why? Because our contract fell through. God's love is unconditional and extends to all, even those who don't yet believe or have wronged him. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Even the ones that we deem not good enough, who are we? What right do we have to say somebody's not good enough? What right do we have to say what their relationship with God is? That ain't my business. That's between you and him. My business is to tell you who he is. Your business is to get right. He is decided as he is described as merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and full of steadfast love. Oh my goodness. How many of y'all is that your character? If it's your character, please stand to your feet. We have fallen far, my friend. But you know what? There's that word called grace. So when you've fallen, and we've all fallen, because Scripture is very clear, we've all fallen short. And when we've fallen, and we know we've fallen, and we need that grace, you remember when you need that grace, when that friend over there needs that same grace. Because if you don't extend that grace to that friend, they're not going to extend it to you. Or let me rephrase that. Thank you. If you don't extend that grace to that friend, whomever you need grace from, whomever you need grace from, it ain't happening. For an example, if we're all God's children, then we should treat each other like we treat God. Instead, we treat God like we treat each other. When was the last time you told God you loved him? But let me tell you what, old homie over there, he good looking. And we're going to go out on a date later tonight. And let me tell you what, when I get out of church, I'm going to call him and tell him how much I love him. When was the last time you told God you loved him? When was the last time you sit in his presence, whether it be in your home, in your car, in the church? When did you last sit in the presence of God and simply say, I love you? But let me tell you what, when the waters rose and you needed him, or when things weren't looking so happy for you, or maybe your contract fell through, I bet you were on the phone to him. God, I need you. What's going to happen one day when he answers the phone and goes, hello, I'm sorry, do I know you? Who are you? What did you say you needed? Be glad he's a loving God and that he doesn't do that to us. Let me tell you, your friend will. Your friend will do it to you in a heartbeat. You jade them enough, and when you pick up that phone and you give them a call, they ain't gonna be there. And if they are, your business is now 10 o'clock news. Kingdom-minded, the Bible speaks about the importance of friendship. You hear that? The importance of friendship, emphasizing qualities like loyalty, love, support. Those are all qualities of God. Loyalty, love, and support. So where's yours? If it's his qualities and he is in you, then where are they? Where are they? Are you loyal to your friend when they can't be your friend? Do you love them when you want to pinch their ever-loving head off? Can you say, hold on a second, you know, I understand that you're in a disagreement with me, but hold on a second. Can we just sit here and talk it out? Do we have to fight? Do we have to involve everybody else? Can we just sit, you and I, and talk it out? No. We don't do that. We do everything but. A true friend is depicted as someone who sticks closer than a brother, loves at all times, especially in the times of adversity. A true friend will be there. A true friend goes above and beyond and does not keep score. Don't keep score on me. A true friend does not keep score. Well, you didn't do that, so I didn't do that. It's not a covenant. Remember, I said you're going to have one. You're going to have a contract or you're going to have a covenant. I don't care what the relationship is, including with Satan. You're going to have a contract or you're going to have a covenant. Proverbs 18:24 in the voice says, someone with many so-called friends may end up friendless, but a true friend is closer than a brother. I just said that. Fruition of the scripture. A true friend is closer than a brother. Those so-called friends are seasonal. They're seasonal. Let me tell you the reason why they're seasonal. They're tests or they're pawns. But they're seasonal. What is a pawn? A pawn is someone that Satan uses to get you to move in the direction he wants you to go in. So so-called friends are either, they're either pawns or they're seasonal. They're not a complete relationship with you. Understand? This is not your contract, or this is not your contract to abuse your friendship. The next time you get jaded with your friend, remember who gave them to you. Forgiveness is not remembrance. Remember that. Forgiveness is not remembrance. God gave you that one friend. My mother used to tell me, you have one friend in your lifetime, Linda, that will do anything for you. One friend. One friend. Find them and cherish them and keep them. Protect them at all costs because you have one friend. She used to tell me that. I used to tell her it was God because I didn't trust anybody else. She didn't like that answer. But that's the way I truly felt. Anyway, forgiveness is not remembrance, because remember on Wednesday I said that I hate memory, because why? 90% of it's what you did wrong to me. I refuse to remember what you did right for me. But yet that one loyal friend that sticks closer than a brother, that one loyal friend that God gave you, you're going to abuse because you get jaded and then you stop talking to them. You stop texting them. You stop having any kind of outings with them. But when you need them to be that one loyal friend again, you on the phone calling them. Hey, where you been? What you need? What do you mean, what do I need? Well, you kicked me out the door 3 months ago and you haven't spoke to me since. What you need? But can I tell you what the one loyal friend does? Hold on, I'll be right there. They don't keep score. They're there for the long haul. They're there for the ride. Kind of like the ride or die, right? Okay, the difference, this is the good part. The difference between contract and covenant, and we're going to talk about contract here. A contract is an agreement between equals, a human to a human. Understand that, right? It's a contract. It's an agreement between two people. A mutually beneficial relationship is man's word. Man's word. It's signed with ink. Why is it signed? It requires a signature because we can't trust each other. Breakable agreement. Let me tell you what, you get into a contract and something goes wrong with that contract, you will take a magnifying glass and you will search that contract over. And let me tell you, that writing's about that big. You will search that contract over until you find the loophole that sets you free and you can walk away from something you committed to. I did closings for a living. I know how to walk away from a contract. 3-day right of rescission. 3 days, I don't like it, I can rescind it and walk on with my money. Done deal. Contracts are made with loopholes. Loopholes come from Satan. Contract equals Satan. a contract is it's negotiable, which means man's terms. A contract is based on what you and I agree to, not what actually, like, for instance, if you're going to buy a house and you need X amount of money down, or the seller's requiring X amount of money down, and you go to your realtor and you say, yo, homie, I only got $5,000. I can't put no more down. They want $10,000, but I only got $5,000. Can we renege the contract to show that they credited me this kind of money and I can get the amount for $10,000, but we're gonna fix the contract that looks like I'd give $10,000? I know what I'm talking about. That's what Satan does to us. Oh, you need that? Oh, well, no problem. You need a new car? Great, no problem. Let's just go over here, and we'll tell them that you're working so many hours and that you got this paycheck and that you got this, and we'll get it all nice and pretty. But you know what? That pretty car comes with a pretty price tag. Sure does. The difference between contract and covenant, again, is number two, it deals with secular affairs, monetary, exchange of funds, purchases. It's usually something tangible like furniture, but it can be intangible, being airspace. We pay for airspace all the time. Internet, I pay for license to be able to run videos. That's all airspace. Did you know that you're employed with a contract? Whether you sign one or not, you're employed with a contract. I agree to work 40 hours a week with you. What I really agreed is to show up and play around for 8 hours a day and collect a paycheck. Because why? Because we don't treat contracts correctly. We have allowed the contract to govern us. Gives way to Satan. Satan gives you a contract. He will give you everything you want, when you want it, as long as you're disobedient to God. That's his contract. If you are disobedient to God, you're either for him or you're against him. And if you're disobedient to God, my friend, you have just signed the dotted line of Satan's contract. Can you have multiple contracts? Absolutely you can. This one depends on this one, depends on this one, depends on this one. I'm going to buy this house, this contract, but that house has to sell. This contract can fall through the loophole, okay? This can fall through if that one doesn't go through. Not the way Satan does us? Oh, yeah, you want that? No problem. It's contingent upon you doing that. God said to go over there and do that, but you want this, and I can make this happen, but you have to do that first. Continued dealing with the secular affairs, Satan, and everything I want, disobedience to God. When you bargain with Satan to get what you want through disobedience to God, you just sign the contract and his terms apply to the rest of the agreement until the agreement is rendered null and void by God. Once you get in bed with Satan, the only one who can get you out is true repentance, God. Because once you start dancing with the devil, it's on. You let him in, it's on, full force. The difference between the contract and the covenant, still on contract, is obligation. It's impersonal. I have to do it. It's not an option. I don't get to say I'm not going to do it. Once you file that contract or once you sign that contract, if you go to back out of that contract and you ain't got no loophole, let me tell you, the other person is coming for you, usually with an attorney. Try to back out of a contract and tell me how it happens. Let me know how it works. It's conditional. You do your part, I'll do mine. And that Satan comes into church all happy, dressed up, looks really good. He's sitting next to you, and if he can distract you, he's doing his part. Now you do your part. You become the distraction. Leverage. It's taking care of me. Looking out for uno numeral one. A contract is there to take care of the person initiating the contract. We used to say it's a buyer's market or it's a seller's market. It's either for the buyer or it's for the seller. Can't be for both. Somebody's going to give. Okay, continued on obligation. Suspicious. Are you going to keep your word? Are you going to turn around and go the other way? It's business. What's it costing me? What do I stand to lose? Anybody who signs a contract considers that. What's it going to cost me? What am I losing? What am I gaining? What am I losing? Compromise. Meet me in the middle. Give less than what I receive. Now, this is doing a contract where it benefits me. Temporary. Once the contract is fulfilled, it's terminated. It has no length. Once the contract is fulfilled, once the house is sold, once the money's in, the deed is changed, the contract dies. Date-wise, the contract dies. There is a dead date on a contract, so it dies. Temporary. Now we're going to talk about covenant. A covenant is an agreement between God and man. You are not equal. There is no equal between you and God. It is a perpetual promise. It's a pledge or an oath. And it comes for generations. I'm going to tell you why. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, four generations, had a perpetual promise. When God promised Abraham, the promise completed through Joseph. And then right on down, lineage down. Executed not in, but by blood. Love, commitment, Jesus. The cross equals salvation. Your covenant, you were bought by blood. You were bought with a price. Continuing on in the agreement between God and man, it's unbreakable. Now look at this. Once God makes a covenant with you, he doesn't relent, change his mind, or leave you stranded. That's what we do. We leave God stranded in the middle of our covenant. We have a covenant, and we decide we want a contract. So now we have a contract. We realize that we're in a contract. We don't want the contract anymore, so we go back over to the covenant. And we're in the covenant again, and we're doing fine until the next little bump. Then we go back over to the contract, and I'll show you in the Bible where it takes place. It's non-negotiable. It's God's timing, God's terms. A covenant has nothing to do with your timing or your terms. You try to get your timing and your terms in a covenant, it is not going to fare well for you. Number two, it deals with sacred affairs, holy matters. God affairs, church, commitments, not forsaking the assembling of the saints, tending to the sheep. We have guests over there, just in case anybody's looking around. We got turkeys. The turkeys, look, the turkeys know there's a covenant for Thanksgiving. They don't want to be ate, okay? God is so good. Okay, keep yeah, keep going. I know they were like, they're pecking on the door and everybody's looking, so I just figured I'd tell everybody what's over there. It's not a bomb. It's not going to go off. You're good. Okay, they came to church. Okay, back to not forsaking the assembling of the saints. Now, a covenant is the kingdom, teaching salvation, preparing the way, and bringing the sheep in. Kingdom thinking is the most probably number one of a covenant. You have to think like Christ. It's kingdom thinking. To walk in your covenant, you have to think like Christ. You can't think like human. Eternal life. God's will, because you're going to wake up dead somewhere. You're either going to wake up dead in a contract or you're going to wake up dead in a covenant. But you're going to wake up dead. Eternal life. And the last one there, I believe, is unity, and it's the heart of Christ. God desires more than anything for unity. Unity has to be in the covenant. Unity is the covenant. Not only are you in unity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but you're in unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Number two, it deals with, this is continuing, the holy matters. Satan doesn't want you, understand that. He doesn't want to enter a covenant with you because he doesn't want anything to do with you. Satan doesn't want a covenant with you. Number one, he can't keep it. That's why he's down there and not up there. Okay. He doesn't want anything to do with you. He just doesn't want you to go to heaven and be with God. But he'll sure spice it up, slice it up, and dice it up real pretty. Plate it out real nice. Make it enjoyable. You know, sometimes we dive into the joys of the world. And we sit and we go, man, but, you know, that's really good. I made that mistake one time. I told God, I said, well, I ain't hurting nobody. You don't want to know the answer. Because literally all hell broke loose. He wants you, no, go back. He wants you he wants you to burn in hell eternally. He's not for you, he is against you. Go ahead. Number three is opportunity. Obedience. A covenant requires obedience. I get to. Bishop's notorious for correcting us. You what? Well, I got to go to work today. You what? Well, I got to go to work. You what? You get to go. I get to go serve him. I get to go clean this. I get to go take care of them. I get to go. Not I have to. And that, and truly your language, your words that you speak, tell people what relationship you're in with the person you're speaking about. If you have to, it's a contract. If you get to, it's a covenant. Personal. I give my all, no matter what. No matter how you treat me, no matter what you do, no matter what you say to me, I'm giving you my all. Covenant. God gave us all. He gave us Jesus. It's unconditional. Give when they don't, even unto your own hurt. In counseling of marriage. But they don't do this. Yeah, don't care. But they did that. Yeah, don't care. When you entered into the marriage, you entered giving everything you had. But they only give 50%. Am I? Yep, you are. Actually, no, you're required to give over. Because if both of you give over, then you got a covenant. But if you're going to walk down a 50-50, that's my bank account, don't touch my money. Let a man tell me not to touch his money. I guarantee you he won't have a bank account tomorrow. If I'm wearing his ring, we don't have separate bank accounts. Okay, loyalty, your best interest. A covenant, God has your best interest. He don't care about what the world says. He's got your best interest. But because his best interest to us, for us, doesn't line up with what the world is saying, we like to feel a little jaded. But God, you don't love me. If God talked to y'all like he talked to me, y'all probably would quit. Me and God, we got it. Okay, keep going. Trust is my character and my word. A covenant equals trust. Can I trust you? If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do something, and I'll give you a good example. I committed to watching Bishop's puppies, his babies, the beginning of the year. I do it every year while he goes on vacation, yes? My grandchildren are my prize. They're my possessions, yes? They're my gifts from God. So my daughters, hey, Mom, Caden and Jackson needs a place to go. Can you come up here? Well, no, I can't go there, but they can come here. Well, why they got to go there? Well, I got a swimming pool. No, I'm just kidding. I do have a swimming pool, but no. Okay, why they got to go here? Well, because I'm already committed. I've already got something I got to do. So I'll watch my grandbabies, and my grandbabies, you can rest assured, it's going to take priority. Bring my grandbabies to me. I got a commitment. You do it into your own hurt. That's a covenant. I'm in a covenant relationship, whatever it takes. Relational is whatever it takes. Sacrifice, you're all in. A covenant is permanent. Remember I said you start out in a covenant, and then you can walk over to a contract, and then you come back to a covenant? When you realize that your life is in a contract versus a covenant is when you have fallen flat on your face and you are crying out to God in true surrender. It's when you have realized that your life has gone from covenant to contract. Can you get back to covenant? Absolutely you can. He never left. He stayed. You're the one that left. Always. Going to talk about covenant life, and this is going to, I'm going to finish this on Wednesday. So if you want to hear the rest of it, come Wednesday. Okay, covenant life. Abraham in the book of Genesis is a story of covenant sacrifice and fulfillment of promise. Abraham's story centers around his journey of faith and what is a what? Is a what? Is a what? Is a covenant. So Abraham's covenant, I'm glad somebody paying attention. Gosh, okay. Obedience is a covenant, and that's what Abraham's life was about, was his covenant with God. God commands Abraham, then called Abram, to leave his homeland and journey to a new land, promising to make him a father of great nations and bless him. And that's where we got the four generations. It was a perpetual blessing. So God's covenant to Abraham, he walked in it. But did Abraham walk out of it every now and then? Of course he did. We all do. Genesis 12, 1 and 2, and the voice says, one day the Eternal called out to Abram, the Eternal One, Abram, get up and go. Leave your country, leave your relatives and your father's home, and travel to the land I will show you. Don't worry, I will guide you there. Hold up right there before you go anywhere. Notice it says the Eternal One called him. It's a covenant. It was not mutual. Do you think Abraham wanted to leave his people? No. He was happy there. God said, my terms, don't worry about where you're going, my time, it's covenant. I have plans to make a great people from your descendants, and I'm going to put a special blessing on you and cause your reputation to grow so that you will become a blessing and an example to others, a perpetual promise. Never ending. So he has a never ending covenant with God. This marks the beginning of the Abrahamic covenant, a foundational agreement between God and Abraham, non-equals. A covenant life will bring its own set of trials and tests. As for Abraham, his was various challenges, including famine in Canaan, a brief sojourn in Egypt, and ultimately the near sacrifice of his son Isaac. Covenant life secures God's protection, even in the midst of our hot mess. In Genesis 12, 10 through 20, and y'all can go back and look that up. For time's sake, I'm not going to go into it because there's lots of scripture. Go back and look it up. Abraham faces a famine in the land of Canaan. Due to his initial lack of faith and onset of fear, he temporarily moves to Egypt. Now notice that says initial lack of faith, onset of fear is a contract. He just moved from covenant to contract. Why? Because he let fear in. Fear is not of God, fear is of Satan. Contract equals Satan, yes? The results lead him to deceive the Egyptians about his wife, Sarai, her identity to protect himself, thus loss of trust in God's protection. You walk in a covenant, you walk in God's protection. You step outside of that covenant, you no longer are under his protection. But God being God and being our loving Father who walks in complete covenant with Abraham intervenes, afflicting Pharaoh's household and ultimately forces Abraham to leave Egypt. That's a perpetual promise. I will take care of you. When Abraham realized what he did, you go back into the covenant from the contract to the covenant. Make sense? Good, because we're going to stop there. I don't want to go on because it gets deeper than that. So I want my prayer warriors to come front. And I want to ask you a question just like God asked me. Is your relationship with him? I'm not worried about your relationship with others, because if your relationship with him is in a covenant, takes care of itself. Because if you're walking in a covenant relationship, you're not going to treat somebody like they're in a contract with you. Make sense? If you need to know whether your relationship is covenant or contractual, I would invite you to come forward and ask God. Because he will tell you. He will certainly tell you. So having said that, Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the service, Lord. We thank you for the information and how you reveal yourself in your word, how you reveal the desires that you want for your people. And the timing is just absolute in perfection. We thank you, Father God, for being able to be here today. There's so many places that people don't have church. There's so many people who don't even know you. I just can't fathom, God, what it would be like to get up every morning and not say hello to you. So, Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless the rest of this day and that you would take us all safely where we're going and bring us all safely home. And we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.